Well, good morning, everybody. Today, the church has us thinking about the family, and I think it's very appropriate that every year, it's right after Christmas, that the Sunday celebration is the Holy Family, right after many of us have been spending quite a bit of time with our families. There's a funny thing I saw on Facebook. It's this woman, and she's standing in the kitchen, got the refrigerator door open, and the woman looks a little wonky, and but she says, "It wouldn't be the holidays without a turkey, a fruit cake, and some mixed nuts." But enough about the relatives. but anyway, you know, the family is an interesting thing, and it's a beautiful thing. It is one of God's greatest inventions. And yet, I love our readings today because they speak to the humanity of the family. Our first reading, we hear about a woman named Hannah, who's married to a guy named Elkanah. Sounds like he's from Texas, but he wasn't. And they were unable to have a child. And so there's this struggle in their marriage, surely, in their hearts about why is this? We so desperately want a child. Why can't we have one? And there's this the struggle with barrenness. There's the struggle of all that kind of poses. And then finally, after quite a few years, God answers their prayer and they have a child. And that child's name is Samuel. And Hannah had promised that, "Lord, if you give me a child, I will give him back to you." And so they give Samuel to God and they present him at the temple. What a struggle that must have been to part ways with this young child who they had prayed so hard for, wanted so desperately, and now they're kind of giving him away to Eli at the church, at the temple. Our gospel is filled with the humanity of the family, which is all the more beautiful because it's the Holy Family. And what we have going on here is that Jesus has gotten lost. And what in the world? No, there we go. Jesus has gotten lost. They went to Jerusalem for the Passover. It'd be kind of like the whole parish going on a trip together. And, you know, everybody's kind of mingling with each other on the trip, you know, and they're on their, so they're on their way back. And Mary and Joseph haven't seen Jesus for a little while, but they think, "Oh, well, he's probably just with the other people in the crowd, you know, in this caravan." Well, it turns out he wasn't. He stayed in Jerusalem. And it's one thing to lose your kid. It's another thing to lose the Son of God, you know, and that's what was going on here. And then there's this desperation when they realize that Jesus isn't there. There's a anxiety. The word anxiety is used in the hearts of Mary and Joseph as they don't know what happened to their child, to Jesus. They don't know where he went. There's that struggle. Probably remember by now, Jesus is about 12. And so Mary's coming to terms with the fact that maybe I always wanted a bigger family, but I'm not going to have a bigger family. And Joseph is realizing that I'm never going to be a biological father. And yet I'm doing my best to kind of fill that role here in this family. And so there's all these struggles going on, and there's this anxiety. There's and then they finally come back and they find Jesus sitting there in the temple. And Jesus says, "Didn't you know that I had to be here in my Father's house?" And think about how that must have pierced Joseph's heart. Because Joseph, of course, not the biological father of Jesus, but the foster father of Jesus, is going, it's in some ways, like a kid might say, "You're not my real dad," you know, like, and that must have really hurt Joseph in some ways. And And then Mary is there's got to be a frustration, a sorrow in her heart of realizing that I'm not going to be I can't be a helicopter parent my whole life. And that God, this child, this Jesus of mine, I have to let him do God's will. And there's this disappointment, there's this sorrow, this frustration, there's these anxieties, all this stuff bubbling up here in the family, the Holy Family. And if it happens in the Holy Family where there isn't sin, could you imagine? We do know that it happens in our own families to this very day. That there are all of these same emotions, all of these same struggles and difficulties that bubble up to the top. And often things are not ideal. They're not perfect. They're not picturesque. They're not as nice as the Christmas letters make them sound very oftentimes. But in the midst of all that mess, in the midst of all of that, those different emotions, some are great, some are not, God comes. And God enters into the scene. And then the mess isn't the mess because Jesus is there. The stable is a messy thing. We see the Holy Family in the stable. And it's a messy thing. But the mess isn't a mess when Jesus is there. In fact, the mess is beautiful, which is why we have stables up in all of our houses and all of our churches, outside everywhere. You'd think that's an ugly thing. It's a barn. And yet, the mess isn't a mess when Jesus is there. And it's beautiful when Jesus is there. And that's exactly what we got going on there. I love the stable because, too, you got Mary and you got Jesus, but you got Joseph. You also got the shepherds. We'll have the kings later. We got the animals. Everyone is a part of God's family. And that's our second reading today. Our second reading reminds us that the family is bigger than me and my mom and my dad and my brother and my sister and my son and my daughter and my cousin and my everybody. The family is bigger than that. We're one family in Christ. And that's the beautiful thing that we have. That's why we belong to parishes. And it's because we're a family. And the same emotions that bubble up in our gospel and our first reading, you know, those kind of bubble up in parish life too, in family life here. But that's okay. Because when Jesus is there, it's beautiful. Even though it isn't always easy. I put in the bulletin a whole bunch of different things on page 5. And there's suggestions and things on how to have happy, healthy, holy families. And the wedding vows are in there, the consecration prayer. We should all consecrate our families to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And you can do that even if your kids are 70 years old and moved out of the house. You know, we can consecrate our families constantly. And I pray that prayer every day for my own family, and for the family of the church. But there's a whole bunch of other fun things in the bulletin on page 5 about how to have happy, healthy, holy families. And when are good times to pray together as a family? When are good times to read scripture? All those sorts of things. But also in there is the first one, which I think I remind you of every year. Family can be an acronym. And we see it in the stable. Family, F-A-M-I-L-Y, forget about me, I love you. Forget about me, I love you. That is how to have a healthy, happy, holy family. Even when it's not ideal and perfect, it's still beautiful because Jesus is there and we are loving each other. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.